Welcome back to Soul School with our host, Heather McCain.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Soul School. I'm so excited to do another episode with you this week. So I was really thinking this week about communication and sort of what that looks like. And it seems the more that we're connected through sort of social media and our phones, the less that we're connected with each other. And I really thought about that this week when I was with my child, and I realized he's 17, and I realized how little I actually talk to him. He seems to communicate better through text. And so I was just curious about what your guys' perceptions were about that, about how maybe social media and cell phones kind of get in between actual human connection.
Well, we've definitely learned that it's a generational thing, especially past the millennials. The new Gen Zs are literally all about technology as a form of communication. It's definitely a change from, you know, from my generation.
Yeah. Well, and it takes the soul component out of it a little bit, right? Because there's this component of being able to have these full relationships without actually being in somebody's energy presence. And while it's great to communicate, I think it's kind of lonely for these kids. You know, they don't talk to each other. They just snap each other, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, I find it so interesting. I find it so interesting. And I certainly feel like it's generational. But I also feel like it really impacts sort of people's ability to sort of connect with one another.
I actually was just watching something on this topic not that long ago, and it kind of was breaking down all the generations, and it really explains that technology, how it's really affecting kind of our mindset, how we see the world, specifically how we communicate. So I think it's a very valid topic to talk about, because to be honest with you, as we don't communicate one-on-one, we do lose those connections. And I think it's very important that we do get back to some basic family structure. I know some parents have told me that, you know, they still try to have a dinner time and no phones allowed at the table because they start realizing everybody come to dinner and everybody be staring down at their phone.
Yeah.
I see that with other people too. Just you almost can't even go out somewhere without them like spending all their time on their phone.
Well, and I even realized it when Luke and I were in Vegas, and for Valentine's Day, we tried to do a really nice meal, and I realized we were both on our phone, and I was like, when did we become these people? So we put our phones down, you know, because it just takes you out of the moment. But I really realized with my oldest, who's 17, it's almost as if he can only have emotionally based conversations through like text messaging. It's almost as if there's a generation of kids who that's their primary way of being able to communicate.
A lot of what was being said is that now that, again, we have basically both parents in the workforce and kids are becoming more self-sufficient, and technology is one way that affords the parents to have more time to work. And it unfortunately is a disconnect. It is a disconnect that I think that people do need to be aware of, and especially, you know, spiritually and basically to have a good home life and or to have kids that can be well adjusted out in society.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, Hadley, my 7-year-old, she just turned 7 and we got her cell phone. And it really is about teaching them how to navigate it. There's a good place for it, and it makes you safer and it allows you to communicate, but it's just about having boundaries so it doesn't take you out of the human experience.
I will tell you a common thing I hear a lot right now from a lot of younger generations is they talk about anxiety a lot. I hear that a lot. It's and it's quick for people to associate that with some sort of mental health or trauma. Well, you know, trauma could come in way many different forms. And in my opinion, in this situation, the trauma is they're not getting a little bit more of that nurturing, and they're relying strictly on the technology.
I think that that's a very valid point. And I really like the direction you guys have taken this conversation, because I was trying to figure out what I was trying to say with this. And it's that component, you know, of, you know, a lot of times there is a trauma that allow, like, we almost use it as a veil so that we don't have to connect in a more real way because we're all hiding.
Well, are we getting dumber by doing that, though? Like, sometimes I wonder, are we getting dumb? Are our kids, like, elevated? I'm not calling kids dumb. I'm saying, like, emojis, like, speaking in emoji language and all that. Like,
I'm constantly Googling, like, what those letters are. Like,
there's so many acronyms and all this stuff that we have no idea, where I feel like, oh, grandpa needs to learn how to use the remote, you know, type deal with that. And I'll ask them, like, what do these three letters together even mean? Like, what does that mean that you just said?
I feel like I'm Googling it at least once a week. I could not agree more. But it's such a complicated, I think that, because we were sort of the generation, you and me specifically, where Google and the internet, that came when we were a little bit older, existed before, but it became accessible to people. And now these kids are, they're kind of like the generation of technology. And it is a good question on whether or not it makes them smarter or maybe less intelligent. It's, I would say probably both. I think that the truth is I watched this really interesting thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about how Scientology and Mormonism have gone down by like 80% since the internet became accessible to people, because people actually could look up what it was and they sort of didn't get indoctrinated, you know. But no, a lot of these religions, I think that people are getting a lot more information. But I also think that there's a component of when you have everything given to you, you don't do your own research. So yeah, I think it's interesting.
You know, of course, all three of us, we do have children at the wide range. Like, yes, we all have right now in our lives, we all have a different experience where we're at and where our kids are at. And ironically for me, my kids are now much older.
Yeah.
And technology is easy for me to communicate with them, because they almost prefer not to be bothered by the phone calls, would rather have a quick text. The only thing I always am concerned about that is that a lot of times communication via text doesn't really convey context or syntax, and things can get construed. And that I think bothers me.
Inarguably. I mean, we've even found that with us in a much more mild way. I think that it's so easy without that component of feeling each other's energy, right? Without that component of being able to hear the inflection in someone's voice, or seeing the expression on their face, when it's just words, it does become a lot harder to interpret, you know, because you're gauging off of just the text. And that's not a lot to go off of. You know, you can say, you know, the same thing and have it mean 20 different things depending on the, you know, the look on your face, the tone of your voice. So
the English language is so strange in particular, right? Because you can use this so many words in different ways. So when you're using it in text form, the context gets completely lost. And me, I'll reiterate it again. I'm horrible with context, especially in the message form. And then I choose weird words. Yeah, or like, and so then the other,
I haven't noticed that.
Oh, come on now. Some of the messages
I
came across, like is this an AI robot getting back to me saying things that don't mean anything?
I like that about you. I like
AI. Yeah.
I think that I perceive it as, like, I actually feel you're very direct.
So. Yeah, that can, I'm always worried that that's going to come off as as like abrasive. Yeah, abrasive would be the word that I worry about. I never want to come off as abrasive. I'm harmless. You know what I mean? But I
don't think you come off. I could see what you're saying, though. I think it's different for me because I'm an empath, right? So I'm not just connecting to what you're saying. I'm connecting to you as a person. I could see why maybe you'd be worried that someone else who is maybe not connecting to you would perceive you that way. I never have. Well, not once.
All my interactions, like through my career in the past and everything. I mean, I burned all these bridges and everything. It was all like when I think fondly about it or not so fondly about it, I think about it was all just a series of miscommunications, and a lot of it was on my part. And if I had just communicated and had like a emotional maturity, I probably could have handled that stuff differently. So,
you know. But how lovely that you're in that place now. I mean, the ability to self-edit is what makes a good human being, right? Because we're all super, super flawed, all of us. And if you can look back and see where you would change things so that you can then in the future do that, it's a soul school.
Yeah, say it proudly because that's what it is. And that's what this show's doing. I mean, I'm learning so much each time I talk to you guys. Just having these conversations is healing me, is helping me. And I know it's going to help the listeners too.
Oh, that means so much to me, Kane. And I'm really excited about what we're doing. And I feel like, you know, these spiritual principles, Randy and I were talking about this, they really do make life better and easier. And it makes things feel a little less heavy, I feel. So I know that these concepts we talk about have made my life a lot easier.
I will add one more thing because I think this is important for our listeners to how we're kind of associating this topic spiritually is that since we started talking about this, I have spent some personal time with my oldest son and have talked to him about kind of these kind of things kind of in a spiritual context. I have found this bonding a lot better, to be honest with you.
Oh, I love that.
So I do believe there has been a disconnect because of the technology, and it is important then to find our way back to making those human connections again.
Funny that you guys bring this up. This is why I love this show, is because just this last week, my mother-in-law gave me this little deal for my office here. It says, be a warrior, not a worrier. And I thought that was amazing because, you know, I expressed to her that I'm working on not thinking about the future as much and worrying so much about what will become of me, what will become of this, and trying to be a warrior, right? A warrior of the day. And so with anxiety and me being a horribly anxious person, which is what kind of drives everything behind me, there's this kind of what I want to say. There's this urgency to you, and it's a lot of it is just my own self-doubt. It's my worries. It's all of that stuff. But how does a person go through? How does a person achieve that? Like, how do a person like myself, how do I achieve fighting anxiety in a spiritual way to kind of move forward?
I love that question, Kane. And I think that the key is looking at it in context, because what worrying is really thinking about what the worst case scenario is, or feeling like things aren't going to work out, or if this doesn't happen, this is going to happen, which is what manifestation is, right? And so when you start to realize, I love what your mother-in-law gave you, because when you start to realize that you're actually creating a lot of your worry when you're worrying, you're actually most likely, and then you're perceiving everything in a negative way. And so it's spiritually the best way to kind of self-focus is to not let your mind go into the negative dialogue, right? And to make sure that you're not perceiving things in the worst case scenario. And that's actually the quickest way to raise vibration too. And a lot of, I've found with worrying, proactiveness tends to be the best. So if you're anxious about, like, let's say this, I think that having those conversations so that you're not worried about it and really trying to perceive it, every time you find your mind worrying about what the worst thing could happen, make your mind think about what the best thing could happen. Whenever, like, something's going on and you haven't heard from someone, or you think kind of the most negative thing that's connected to you, force yourself to think of the other scenario. It's about spiritually allowing yourself to kind of be mindful and in the minute and not worried about anything that you can't control.
I mean, man, can I really relate to this subject right now? Like that's been my journey this year. That's the whole point. I described it recently as I had all this success and I worked really, really hard for all this success, but I was worried all the time about it. Like I always had to work that much harder, that much harder, that much harder. And I stressed about achieving that next thing, that next thing. Now, I say this to everybody right now, and this, it's my thing right now. I say, listen, I'm really excited about what I'm doing. I'm really passionate about what I'm doing right now and what I'm looking forward to doing, but I'm not trying to make it happen. I'm letting it happen so I can enjoy the ride while I'm doing it.
Yes.
And yeah. I think that's what I missed out on all those other things before, why I felt bad about how maybe I didn't give enough attention to my kids while I was doing that before. Because then there was no reward. I missed out on times with my kids, and then I was still always stressed. And so finding this balance and being positive thinking forward of what the good outcome can be. And the good outcome doesn't have to be huge. It just can be a positive step forward. And it makes you look for, like, again, like Kane's saying, be a warrior for today. Yes. Just whatever you do today. And spiritually, you've talked about this, Heather, which is, you know, just start out by accomplishing something when you get up. Make your bed. Yeah. Make a cup of coffee. Do your laundry. You know, make a list of what you're going to accomplish today and then go out and do it.
Yes. It's about staying vibrationally high and just constantly controlling little things, but then creates the big thing.
So, Heather, we got an email this week. From a listener who is starting to find their basically their spiritual awakening, and really kind of wanted to know the difference between empathy and sympathy, and just give your spiritual thoughts on that.
I feel like that's such an interesting question. And this caller is right, and you're right. It's sort of two separate entities. This question lives in spirituality, and it also lives in just a practical sense. So the practical sense of sympathy and empathy is that empathy is emotionally feeling something for someone so you can interpersonally connect to what they're saying and feel it and really feel for them. And sympathy is that you feel bad for them, but it's not a personal experience. It's not something that you can understand what they're going through. And the reason why it's a spiritual principle is that empathy is directly connected to our spiritual experience. In fact, I believe that it's a huge proponent of why we're here and why we have Soul School. And it's about us being a collective and understanding something, not just from our own perspective, but from someone else's perspective. And being an empath is sort of directly correlated with that. I can feel other people's feelings to such a degree that I can experience it as if it's happening to myself. And that's where we get into that kind of scientific component of it being connected to the amygdala and something that we can all experience and something that we can grow. And so true empathy is feeling not only bad for someone that they've lost someone, but being able to feel how painful that is and come from that place. Not the, oh, I'm sorry that that happened to you, but the, I feel the devastation and I am standing next to you because I know what you're going through. And obviously we can't always know. I understand that not everybody has an empathic component the way that I personally do, but it's about trying to grow that component of in your spiritual journey of being able to really feel for other human beings, because it goes to the first law of the universe, which is divine oneness, that we're all actually connected. And so when something's happening to Randy or something's happening to Kane, that it's in a way happening to me too.
Well, definitely you have, when you have the ability to have a shared experience, even if it's traumatic, you really don't have to say anything to just really say, I understand, and you're not alone. And whereas a lot of times sympathy is just, well, at least it's not as bad as that.
Yeah. And I think you're right. People respond differently when they're coming from a place of sympathy instead of empathy. It's there's a different way that you respond. And it's why people, like with you, Randy, gravitate, because there's a component of being able to feel when someone's coming from that place. You feel listened to because they are listening to you, because it's about your experience and not what they think your experience is.
Yeah. And I think true spiritual awakening allows you to embrace that empathy with other people, where sympathy is just a cover to things we don't know.
Empathy is directly correlated with the spiritual journey. And the more awakened you are, the more you are connected to other people's experience, which is what empathy is.
So to our listener out there, I hope that helps.
If you'd like to be a guest on the show or be on our Soul to Soul segment with Heather, or even have any questions, please feel free to email us at podcast.soul.school@gmail.com.
Well, that's our episode of Soul School. Thank you so much for joining us this week. And I'd ask you this week on your soul journey to just really focus on where you're putting your energy and to maybe put down the phone and allow yourself to sort of actually connect with other people, because the reality is all communication is good, but actually being in somebody's energy force is life-changing. And I'm sure you've had the experience where you've been near someone and you can just feel how they're feeling. And so I would say this week on your soul journey to really kind of put the phone down and smell the roses. And I hope you have a beautiful week and that your soul journey is a smooth one.